It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Inside Sources. Inside Sources. Utah's source for exclusive access and insights behind the news. Here's the opinion page editor of the Deseret News, Boyd Matheson, on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Great to be with you today. And we're going to dive right into our next topic. This is one that I think is underreported. It's one we've been trying to shine some light on. And that is the fact that there's this fundamental idea emerging finally in this country that faith is, in fact, a dimension of diversity. And that is actually starting to catch on a little bit in the corporate space. So very pleased to be joined today by Dr. Brian Grimm. He is the founding president of the Religious Freedom and Business Foundation, leading scholar on the socioeconomic impact of religious freedom, and was part of a conference in Washington, D.C., Thursday and Friday last week. Dr. Grimm, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's great to be with you.
So tell us just a little bit about, I think this is a movement and a significant one, that more businesses are starting to look at not just the different diversity programs, but looking at faith as a dimension of diversity.
Absolutely. I'm going to mention companies that scored on the top 10 of our Corporate Religious Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Index. And there might be some surprises in there. Google, Intel, Tyson Foods, Target, American Airlines, Facebook, Apple, Dell, Sachs, Goldman Sachs, and American Express. All these companies are visibly and actively including faith and belief as part of their diversity and inclusion initiatives, both at home and abroad.
So tell us a little bit more about that index. What is it that you're actually looking for? How does that? How do you draw the lines in terms of having space for people of all different faiths across the spectrum and of no faith at all to engage that way inside an organization?
One of the biggest indicators of a company actually taking steps and including faith as part of their other diversity initiatives is if they have employee resource groups based either on faith in general, let's say an interfaith group like they have at Salesforce, or if they have faith-specific groups like they have at American Airlines and Texas Instruments. So you could have a Christian group, a Muslim group, a Jewish group, and other types of groups like that. Yet another way is if they, in their corporate programming, attend to the spiritual needs and other needs of their employees by having chaplains, such as Tyson Food does, having chaplains across the United States in their plants. They hire nearly 100 full-time chaplains to work in their plants in cities large and small across the United States.
So as you look at those organizations, and a lot of those are kind of a who's who of successful companies across the country, and internationally, what's the real dollars and cents? It seems to be that this is making a difference for employees, but is it also making the businesses better?
Well, first, when employees are happier and feel appreciated, that's immediately good for the workplace. It's good for the bottom line because employees that like their company, that are excited about coming to work and don't have to leave important parts of them at the door, like faith. They're gonna both be interested to work harder. They're gonna network with team members better because they're able to be their whole self. So both in terms of retention and recruitment and job morale, it's important. But then there's also another factor. It's when the world is becoming more religious. So when I was at the Pew Research Center, we projected that the religious populations of the world globally will outgrow the non-religious populations by a factor of 23 to 1. So if you're a company and you want to do business, say, in India, up and rising market, and you don't know anything about Hinduism or about faith in general, you're really at a disadvantage in trying to work in that market.
Oh, that's fascinating to think of it in those terms. If you're just joining us, we have Dr. Brian Grimm on the line with us today. He is the founding president of the Religious Freedom and Business Foundation. Just held a significant event in Washington, D.C. late last week. I wanted to drill down with you just a little bit. You mentioned the contribution that religion makes to the U.S. economy. Again, good for business. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so a few years ago we did a study estimating the contribution of faith to our society, religion to our society. And we estimated that every year, $1.2 trillion every year. And that's bigger than these big companies' annual revenues combined, many of them combined. And that falls into three categories. One, what happens at the local congregation, whether it's whatever your faith is, whether it's a local ward or a stake, a diocese, all of that is economic activity, building buildings, hiring people, providing seminars, training. All of that contributes to our economy. The second are faith-based institutions like BYU or Catholic University, where we held the conference. These are faith-based initiatives that add to our economy. And then faith-inspired or faith-related business. So Walmart is a new entry into this field of having faith-based employee groups. But Walmart has a very long religious history coming out of evangelical Arkansas, right. and the faith was part and parcel of what helped that company get up off the ground to become one of the world's premier companies and our largest employer in the United States.
Oh, fantastic. Just about a minute and a half left here, and I wanted to get to kind of one final point with you, Dr. Grimm, and that is, there is something about this idea of bringing your whole authentic self to the workplace, that you don't have to leave it at the church or at the mosque or in the synagogue or even at home, that you can bring yourself there. And you've mentioned several times in recent days that you really feel like this movement of really having faith as a dimension of diversity is at a critical tipping point. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Walmart, I already mentioned Walmart. So they've just come into this space and they've jumped in. They were at our conference and they're looking to be able to score well on this index next year. So it's something that companies are realizing this is not just a nice thing, but it's a business imperative, especially if you want to be competitive in today's tight job market. So I think once we get the largest employer in the United States saying this is important, many other companies take their cue from what the name brands I mentioned at the beginning and other companies do. And so I think that we've reached that tipping point where the big companies have jumped in, and I think many will follow.
Fantastic. Dr. Grimm, we appreciate you joining us on Inside Sources today. Great insights. And where can people get more information?
At our website, you can find it at religiousfreedomandbusiness.org, religiousfreedomandbusiness.org, and you can look at the READY Index. Look for that.
Okay, fantastic. Really appreciate your insight today. And again, I think this is so critical, regardless of where you fall on the faith spectrum, that faith as a dimension of diversity is critical in our businesses, and it's critical in the public square. Dr. Grimm, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Boyd.
All right. That's a fascinating discussion, and one we'll continue to monitor here on Inside Sources as companies around the world really see that faith as a dimension of diversity, making sure they create space for employees to bring their whole authentic self to work. All right. Time to step aside. Final break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the making of a new kind of political speech. Don't go anywhere. I'm Boyd Matheson. We'll be right back.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.